After hours of sitting in that examination room in the emergency room, we might keep wondering, what is taking so long? And the nurse continues to reassure us, the doctor will be with you shortly. But we look down at our watch and the second hand is ticking by so slowly. We keep worrying whether the x-rays they took of our arm will show that it is broken. We try to lean back, close our eyes, ignoring the pain. We try to distract ourselves by guessing how many tongue depressors are in that container in the corner of the room. But then we are startled. We hear this commotion in the very next room. Someone yells out, I need a doctor, stat. That it's an emergency in the emergency room. And stat is shorthand for that Latin statum, which has a sense of urgency to it, a demand for action. And as we look back, that is how the Apostle Paul approached his ministry. There was always this sense of urgency, this demand for action. And even though the Apostle Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, the first thing he did when he got to town in Thessalonica was visit the synagogue. And this was during the time of Second Temple Judaism, when everyone was expecting God to restore God's people, which were scattered all throughout the known world. And Thessalonica was a port city where ships would come and go, which meant it was full of people from different places. That the synagogue was surrounded by this diverse culture, all of the influences of the Greco-Roman culture. So there were all of these traditions and customs which were incongruent with the Jewish faith, where they faced many obstacles and hurdles. And when Paul arrived, he started speaking of the kingdom of God, where God would right all wrongs, would turn the world upside down in the ways that Jesus described. And Paul extended an invitation to the people to participate in what God was doing, stat. That Paul described the new day of God's kingdom as a thief coming in the middle of the night, which sounds rather frightening. And the reality is, change is always a little frightening. I remember working as a chaplain one summer in seminary at a hospital. And as I walked onto my floor that day, I saw all of these doctors in white coats, more than you would normally see on the floor. And I found out it was the first day for the first year residents. Those who had just received their white coats, graduating from medical school, and they were getting a tour and orientation of all of the halls of the hospital. And I tried to imagine what that must be like, stepping away from the textbook and stepping into the emergency room where someone would ask you to start an IV or perform a procedure for the very first time. That I imagined them being terrified of making a mistake, of that significant change from the classroom. that change is frightening, even if it is good change. And Paul tries to reassure the people that even though God's new day would come like a thief in the night, that they were children of the light. But despite the reassurance, change always feels rather overwhelming. I was driving to Atlanta some years ago, going north on I-75. I was going to see a lecture by Eugene Lowry, a well-known professor and preacher, and the trip was taking much longer than normal because it was pouring down rain, just cats and dogs. So I turned off the radio, slightly nervous. I leaned into the steering wheel. I watched closely so I wouldn't miss my turn. And since I was watching closely, I noticed the exit for I-20 go by, which was a familiar exit when we would go on family vacations growing up. We would always turn onto I-20 for that last venture back home to Augusta. And for some reason that night, as I passed I-20, for a split second, I thought to myself, I no longer have a key to my parents' house. That even if I wanted to go home, I couldn't get in. That I had a key to our house in Macon. I had a key to our cars, but I did not have a key any longer to the house where I grew up. That it's a good thing, but it's a little frightening. I remember leaving home, moving to a new state. We had just bought our first house, and I'll never forget that day I took that key to the house where I grew up off of my key ring. That change is always a little frightening. And Paul was extending an invitation to the people to something new. Jesus tells that parable about those who received differing talents. First received 5 talents, investing them, making 5 more. The second, 2 talents, investing them, making 2 more. But the third one received 1 talent and buried it, afraid of losing it. The first 2 were celebrated. The third one was criticized. And the third one explained burying it. I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid it. I buried it in the ground. I have often wondered, in thinking about this parable, what would have happened if all of them would have taken their talents, invested them, used them, but one of them had come up short? What if the talents were used but lost? How does God feel about that? I cannot say for certain, but I think God is still pleased that perhaps the risk is more important than the return. Because fear is never the right motivator. that it hides what is important rather than reveals what is important. That they say that fear either causes fight or flight, that we either run at it or we run from it. But in my experience, fear can cause a third option. It can cause us to simply stand still. But the gospel calls us to change. So we need the gift of courage. And courage is not the lack of fear. It is simply facing our fears as best we can. And courage is not just running into a burning building or pulling someone from danger. The courage is found most often in the ordinary. That we need courage to say we need help. We need courage to admit there is a problem. We need courage to embrace someone who is different from us. We need courage to tell the truth. We need courage to stand in solidarity with a friend in need. We need courage to accept humility. And sometimes we need to borrow the courage of someone else in order to find our own. I met James about 15 years ago. He was the pastor at Passport one summer. And at the time, he was also an undergraduate student at Mercer University. A couple of years after meeting James, we moved to Macon, where James and I reconnected, and we would meet up for coffee from time to time. And a few years ago, James even spoke here at Auburn First Baptist Church on a Thursday night. James grew up in Liberia in the middle of civil war. And at Passport, he talked about this experience. He described the stark realities of crushing poverty, inadequate education, and widespread suffering. He talked about walking with his family from town to town seeking refuge. And when his brother became sick and ill and weak, he would push his brother from place to place in a wheelbarrow, trying to escape the violence behind them. After the war was over, he said that many children could not return to school, that they needed to find any little work they could to earn some money to help sustain their families. He said there were these large rocks beside the roads all throughout Liberia, and the children were oftentimes paid to work all day in the hot sun, swinging a hammer over and over again, trying to break up these larger rocks into small pebbles, which were then used to fix the damaged roads all throughout the country. As he described this experience, we all tried to look through his eyes to imagine, as best we could, the courage, hope, and endurance that it must have taken all of those children. And then as we left worship that night, James invited us all to stop by the doors before we left because there were tables with large rocks on them. And we were to hit them with a hammer to break off a piece of the rock and to take it with us. Like borrowing the courage of others to then reach out to offer care and concern to those in need. Fear is never the best motivator. That we are called by the steadfast love of God to embrace the risk and courage of this life, to extend love, offer mercy, and provide justice so that this world can look a little bit more like the kingdom of God. Amen.